Welcome to Healthy You, brought to you by the Greater Peoria Area Edition of Healthy Cells Magazine. Now here's your host, Kim Brooks Miller.
Hello and welcome to the program. It's great to have you joining us today on Healthy You. My name is Kim Brooks Miller of Healthy Cells Magazine, serving the Greater Peoria Metro Area, hosting Healthy You. I'd like to preface this show and thank everyone who called and emailed me about the loss of my little Pomeranian Cookie. As many of you know, I had written about it in my editorial. It was called Permission to Grieve, and that was in the August 2015 issue. But I was just so touched by emails, phone calls, and even cards that came from all of you. And, you know, it became loud and clear to me that there are several people who are hurting over the loss of a pet. And maybe it was from several years ago, or maybe as recent as yesterday or today. But anyway, we have Liz Pollock of Leg Up Services, who is with us today to give us some tips on how we can move forward and how her pet loss grief counseling services can help. Now, Liz has written several articles for Healthy Cells Magazine, so you will probably note her most recent article about pet loss, which is in the August issue of Healthy Cells Magazine, which has her article about grieving a pet. You are not crazy. So if you've ever lost a pet or know that your precious pet may have numbered days, you will want to hear this show. And it's not depressing either. It's just, how do we deal with this? So before we get going, here's some background on our guest. Liz has been a mental health therapist for over 30 years, as well as an advanced certified life and executive coach. She received her master's in counseling psychology at Illinois State University. Liz has an office in Peoria and sees adults and families in person by appointment. Well, Liz, welcome back to the show. It's great to see you.
Thank you, Kim. It's an honor to be back.
Thank you. And you know what? This is such an important topic. So let's just jump right in. Now, is it normal for a person to feel intense feelings like anger, sadness, and confusion after their pet has died?
Definitely. In fact, it isn't unusual for people to hear familiar sounds, like they think that they hear their pet walking around, or they may even think that they see their pet coming around the corner. That adds to the confusion and the unreality. Sometimes they might even be angry either at themselves or their veterinarians, thinking that maybe they could have done more to save their pet. And then, of course, the sadness, the overwhelming sadness mixed with loneliness is very difficult.
Mm-hmm, I would think so. And you know what's interesting? This is a little side note. I actually had a dream. I rarely don't dream about animals a lot. I mean, they might be in it, but usually it's about people. But in this dream, after I lost this little cookie, I was petting her. I could smell how she smelled. I mean, the fur and how she felt. Mm-hmm. And it was so real. And when I woke up, I mean, that was not the reality.
Yes.
And that was really sad for me.
Yes, it's like a double loss.
Yeah.
And it, every time that happens, we feel that loss again and again.
Yeah, exactly. So now let's talk about this, because I think this is very interesting. Do people go through the same grief stages after losing a pet as they do after the loss of a significant human relationship?
They do, actually. They go through the five same stages that Elizabeth Kubler-Ross identified years and years ago. So it starts, of course, with the denial, no, this can't be happening, and the shock, and then the bargaining, trying to make some sort of deal so that it won't happen or can't happen. And then they experience the anger when they know that there's nothing they can do, and then the intense sadness, and then eventually the acceptance and the ability to move on.
Mm-hmm. And do people try to really control that?
Yes. And what they need to understand is it sounds like it's a linear process, and it really isn't. You can usually know where people are, and as a therapist can look at what they've experienced, what stages they've gone through, and know where they need to still go and guide them through that.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a natural process, and we cannot force it.
Right. And everybody grieves differently.
Exactly.
You know, yes. I think that's the other thing that we need to respect people, because I know some people, they, you know, like at a funeral. Now, this is like a person's funeral where they crack jokes. They, you know, I mean, it's like they don't know how to handle it.
Right.
Or other people that just continually sob, carry on.
Right.
So, you know, it's the same thing about a pet loss, isn't it?
It definitely is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, what are some healthy ways that people can cope with the pain of losing a beloved pet?
Oh, there are a number of ways. And these are things that are true even if people lost relationships with humans.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very similar. But basically, the first and probably the most important is just give yourself the time to grieve. Just give yourself permission. Let yourself feel whatever you're going to feel. And don't try to stuff it down or avoid it with exercise or alcohol or, you know, watching TV or some of the other kinds
work.
You're right. And work is a good example. Also, to let other people help and pick the right people to help. People who themselves have lost an animal, a significant pet, and let them talk to you earlier. Definitely tell you how you feel to them. You could also memorialize your pet, and there's a number of different ways to do that. And then cherish the memories. And this is really important, you know, that you think about all of the different things that you and your loved pet had in common or what you did together.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last one that I would really emphasize is if you really are having a difficult time, seek professional help. Call me.
Yeah, somebody like you.
Right.
That is trained to know how to handle this and
exactly.
Help people move on, because I think a lot of people, they get stuck on it. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why I wrote my editorial, Liz, about permission to grieve, because it's okay to grieve over a pet because it is like a family member. Now, I never had children, so these pets are as close for a lot of people they're going to get. Or maybe it's the empty nest syndrome. Children are gone. They're now the pets, you know.
Right.
Or maybe you're elderly by yourself, and this pet was really who you had.
Right.
You know, that was your communication every day. And I think what you said hit it right on the head. You got to allow yourself to grieve. And that's why I wrote that, because most people are like, suck it up, move on, and it's just an animal. No, you really need to take the time to go through those stages. So,
correct.
Well, there. Anyway.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Definitely.
Sometimes people think they should have done more for their pet or should have seen the signs of a sooner problem. Now, I hear this very often, and I'm sure a lot of veterinarians do.
Yes.
Now, what are some of the things that you would tell someone who is struggling with this issue?
You know, this is, like you said, it's a very common issue, and it's one that I've experienced myself.
Right.
Because it's just part of the process.
Right.
And so it's important to know that animals respond very differently when they're sick than humans do. And animals don't really see themselves as being sick, and they certainly can't come to you and say, I'm sick,
right,
like a human could. But it's instinctual for animals to hide their pain. And so when you're around, they're not going to show their vulnerability and their pain. And they also are extremely good at compensating. So other senses take over for those that have been lost, and they adapt extremely well. And again, all of this was part of survival.
Mm-hmm.
So it's instinctual for them to do this. They're not deliberately trying to hide it. This is just what animals do. And, you know, when I talked to my vet about this a long time ago, when I lost my first cat as an adult, she was 18.
Wow.
And I really did feel like I missed the boat somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And that my and he even said to me, Liz, I didn't even see it.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, he kept thinking we had more time. We had more time.
Right.
And so even vets can be fooled. And I think we need to remember that.
Exactly. And and we have to remember that. And, you know, we don't know the time of anything,
right,
including ourselves.
Right.
Now, just to clear the record, I just want you all to know, those who are listening, that because of the show, Liz and I are both wearing waterproof mascara today. So if we start to tear up, we're not going to look all messy at the end. But, you know, mine is still very fresh for me, and I know it is for Liz, too. And, you know, when you were talking about what pets do, is that why some animals go off by themselves?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, because you hear about that.
You do. And they don't have the fear of death that we have. And so it's just very natural for them to do that. And cats especially, they pretty much just want to be left alone. And they very often will isolate. That's one of the signs when you know that a cat is near the end, is when they start to isolate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, if a pet is ill, how do people know when it's time to euthanize him or her? That is a very tough question.
It is very difficult to make that decision because nobody wants to be wrong. You know, you don't want to say, oh, let's do it now, and it wasn't really necessary. And I had that same experience when I had a dog who I think probably on four occasions would have said to the vet, let's euthanize her. And each time he said, I think we can handle this. I think we can get her stable. And every time he did. And so you never really know. You have to make the best guess, and you have to trust your vet. And you have to talk to your vet about that animal-specific illness and the quality of life.
Quality of life is just huge.
Yes.
And, you know, and this might be kind of a little ticky for a topic for some of you, but I know some people, they keep their pets alive way past the quality of life. And it's really for them. They're not looking at the pet.
Exactly.
They're just looking at their own lives and the missing of this animal.
Yes.
And animals suffer.
Yes.
Because of that. And I think that's the way that you have to look at it. And that's the way I looked at Cookie, because it was a very quick decision I had to make about putting her down. We had company coming that weekend for a funeral. I knew she would be upset. She was starting to feel uncomfortable. You know, her behavior hadn't been the same for quite some time. And it was just like, okay, let's do this. And I'm glad I did, even though that was the last thing I expected that morning.
Right.
You know,
right.
But I knew that for her sake, that was the best thing. And
right.
I deal with myself later.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
So, well, we're going to take a quick break on this, Liz. I'm so glad you're in the studio. We have Liz Pollack, and she is of Leg Up Services, and she is talking about pet loss grief counseling. And we're going to talk more about this right after this break.
Hello, my name is Liz Pollack of Leg Up Services. Have you lost a pet and are having a rough time moving forward? Your feelings are normal, but let me help you move through the grieving process. Call 309-370-4492. I'm there for you. Please call me at 370-4492. Let me assist you in adjusting to the new normal in your life.
The Greater Peoria Metro Area Edition of Healthy Cells Magazine is a monthly professional publication dedicated to promoting healthy lifestyles. Healthy Cells Magazine brings you the latest information from respected physicians and other health-related professionals in regards to exercise, nutrition, emotional health, and overall current be-in-the-know related information. Pick up your free copy of Healthy Cells Magazine at over 800 medically-related offices and retail locations in the Greater Peoria Metro Area, or find them on Facebook at Healthy Cells Peoria.
And welcome back to Healthy You. This is Kim Brooks Miller with Healthy Cells Magazine. And with me today is Liz Pollack of Leg Up Services, and she is talking about pet loss grief counseling. And she offers services for this. And it's just so terrific to have her on air because she's written a great article for the August issue about grieving a pet. You are not crazy. And if you haven't read it yet, be sure to pick it up and read it because we're talking about it in more detail today. So, Liz, let's talk about children and, and losing a pet. How does one tell a child about their pet's death? Or what's the best way to do that?
Well, it really depends on the ages of the children and their connection to the pet, you know, how attached they are. And it's important to remember that children who are between the ages of 3 and 5, they have no concept of death, and they kind of see it as temporary and reversible. Then children who are between the ages of 6 and 8, they understand that it's not reversible, but they don't necessarily see it happening to them. They see it happening to others. And so they have a hard time understanding it in relation to themselves. And then it's usually 9 and over when they start to really understand the concept of death. What I would recommend to people is that they find age-appropriate books. And there are many, many out there that you can read to your children and kind of talk to your children about. And as far as telling your children, it needs to be in an appropriate place and time, someplace familiar and safe to them. You need to stay calm and reassuring, give lots of hugs, and basically say it in a way that you know your child needs to hear it. You know, that's not something that I can just give, you know, a line and say this, because it doesn't work that way.
Right.
But definitely, you know, be sensitive to your children, the two things that I could recommend that people not do in terms of how they say it is never say to your child that the animal died in its sleep or went to sleep and didn't wake up. And I think you can understand
that. Sure, because a child might think that might be
exactly
them.
It could happen to them or someone else that they loved. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing to avoid is saying that the animal passed away, because they don't understand that.
Okay.
That doesn't really hit home with them.
Yeah.
So for the really little kids, something like, you know, the animal isn't going to move again, it isn't going to see, it's not going to hear, make it very concrete for them.
Mm-hmm. So they can understand it.
Right.
You know, it's so different now. I grew up on a farm. I think I've shared that with you. Mm-hmm. We saw a lot of life and death living on a farm. So I had to catch on to that concept pretty quick. And of course, back then, we buried a lot of pets on the property and had little services sometimes, you know, things like that, where now they cremate.
Yes.
You know, so there are a lot of changes, and it's just finding out what's going to be best.
Right.
Now, are there any books you could recommend?
Oh,
off the top of your head?
I can't think of them off the top of my head, but if you go to Amazon, which is the place I normally buy the books, because they have such a huge selection.
Okay.
And just put in grief, pet loss for children.
Oh, a lot of things will pop
up
there.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then they can read what it is.
And they can read the reviews,
exactly,
which is what I really like. And that way they can pick the best book for their child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great suggestion. Now, speaking of pets, do other pets grieve as well that, you know, were with this animal?
Yes. Yes. And in fact, animals grieve very hard for lost, you know, playmates or animals that lived in the same home. And I don't know if people know this, but actually elephants and dolphins actually hold funerals, their own ritual funerals.
Oh, interesting.
When one of their own has passed. But even the cats and the dogs that we have, again, depending on their relationship with the other, they could definitely have trouble, and they may look around for the animal, you know, grieve, feel sad. They also pick up on our emotions, so that kind of complicates things for them very often. And one way around that is if you can introduce the deceased animal to the remaining animal and let them smell the deceased animal, that's one way that animals can get closure. Because they can sense, and their sense pick up the odor of death.
Mm-hmm.
And that for them, they understand that.
Okay.
Again, it's part of their instinct. And if you can't actually have them smell the deceased animal, a clip of the hair after the animal dies, you could have them smelling that. And that would also help them.
Oh, okay. That's really good to know. And I'm going to do that, because I do have a clip of Cookie's hair. We have one remaining cat, because I don't know if I shared with you or not, but our 16-year-old Siamese cat died 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
Same day, almost same time as we had to put Cookie. They both had to be put down, euthanized. And that was really tough to have double whammy, especially when you have a pet that long. So that was really tough. But thank you for those tips. Now, I think this is kind of a controversial question that I want to ask you, because you hear people on kind of both sides of the fence on this.
Yes.
Many people, from what I've kind of gathered, many people feel disloyal or even guilty when they start thinking about adopting a new pet.
Right.
What advice would you give to them based on your experience?
Well, first I would say again that it's important for them to let themselves go through the grief process and not rushing into getting another pet. Because otherwise you almost resent the other pet for not being the pet you lost. And that's really not fair to that pet.
Mm-hmm.
So going through their own grief is a big part of it. And then knowing that you can help another pet that may be in a shelter, maybe, you know, sitting in a cage for weeks, doesn't have a home of its own. You know, you can help another pet. And there's lots of animal shelters here that you can support and bring home an animal. And just recognize it will never be your other animal. And it's not replacing the animal.
Right.
It's giving love and forming a new connection.
Exactly. And it's the new normal.
Right.
And that's how you have to look at it.
Right.
Now, Liz, you are really involved with animals because you're also involved with Pets for Seniors.
Yes.
Okay. Could you just briefly tell us what that group is about?
Yes. It's actually part of PFS Shelter, which is in Edwards, Illinois, and they have Pets for Seniors, like you said, and Pets for Grieving. And it's an awesome shelter, and I don't want to say that the other remaining shelters are not as good, because they are. We all have the same goals.
Right.
But it's really about, for the Pets for Seniors, connecting older people with older animals. And these are older animals that would, because nobody would choose them.
Right.
Would get euthanized otherwise. But here's a still a loving animal at age 6 or above that's still got years, that wants to still be part of a family or a household. And you may have an elderly person who's living alone who needs the companionship and something to love and something to give a daily purpose.
Right.
And it's an awesome connection. And we are proud to have Pets for Seniors.
Right. And what's the phone number if somebody wanted to call?
You can call, Barb Cathy is the director of PFS Shelter, and you can call her at 309-446-9721.
Okay.
And they adopt to, like I said, seniors, and they also adopt to anyone through the Pets for Saving program.
Uh-huh. Okay.
You just have to fill out an application.
Okay, good to know. Well, I wanted to bring that up because, you know, you're a great advocate for animals, and that's why I think that your pet grief counseling, it just really fits this. Now, what advice do you have for the grieving person who has their loss and is feeling minimized by others, such as, it was just an animal, or suck it up, move on, or, you know, I mean, we hear all kinds of comments that are very condescending.
Yes. And I've heard those. People have said that to me as well.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of look at it as a lot of people are uncomfortable knowing what to say to a grieving person. That's whether they've lost a pet or, you know, a significant human relationship.
Right.
And just a lot of people try to avoid that, and they feel awkward and uncomfortable. So part of that dismissing or the being insensitive is because they don't know what to say, and they just don't want the person to be upset because they don't know how to handle that.
Correct.
So I think a lot of it is that. And then there are also people who really don't feel a connection with a dog or a cat or some other pet. They've never had that, and they can't relate.
Mm-hmm. Now, what are some of the ways that people can celebrate their pet's life and in a way of letting go?
Oh, I've got some great ideas, and these came from other people I've talked to, and I've done the same for my pet losses. But, of course, the first one I'm going to say is donate in your pet's name to a local shelter or a rescue. Have a memorial stone made. And if you have kids, this could be done by just buying one of those step stone kits at any craft store and having them make it.
Oh, that's a neat idea.
That is a cool idea. And you could also make a small memory book filled with pictures and stories, and you can look at that anytime you want to. And another suggestion, I think this is really cool, is to have an artist do a pencil or oil painting. Mm-hmm. That you then hang in a prominent place.
Right. And I do have one of those, a cookie.
Excellent.
Yeah. So, and actually it was suggested by a dear friend that we recently lost. So mm-hmm. It's kind of sentimental for a variety of reasons.
Yes.
Now we're going to have to close, Liz. This has been so terrific having you on air. Any final words of advice that you'd like to share?
Well, I would just simply say that if anyone is finding themselves having a difficult time, letting go of a deceased pet, they can call me. Mm-hmm. And I would be glad to help them through the process.
That's great. And, you know, speaking of that, you may be listening today and you are really hurting. You didn't realize it, but there's some things that probably we talked about today that really struck home with you, or you know someone else who is hurting. So please do contact Liz for help in this healing process. You can call 309-370-4492. Let me please repeat her number for you. It is 370-4492. Or you can email her at legup, LEGUP at MTCO or MTCO.com. And you can also visit her website at LegUpServices. That's all one word, lowercase.com. Again, LegUpServices.com. She's happy to speak with you and really help in adjusting to the new normal in life without your pet, or how to prepare, because you may have a pet that you know the days are numbered and you've got to start dealing with this now. You keep putting it off, but you know what? You got to deal with it. So call and make an appointment to see her. And I'd like to thank everybody who tuned in this week for sharing your time with us. I know it's a show that's probably hit home with a lot of people, including yours truly here. This is Kim Brooks Miller with Healthy Cells Magazine, hosting Healthy You. You can visit us online at Facebook or contact me personally at peoria.healthycells@hotmail.com. Be sure to pick up your copy of the magazine in over 800 locations in the greater Peoria metro area. And did you realize that going to my website, Healthy Cells Magazine, all one word, .com/Peoria, you can read the magazine online and listen to past Healthy You podcasts. So this is great because you can take the information anywhere you want to go and listen to it whenever you have the time. So God bless you, and we look forward to being with you again next Saturday. Until then, be in your best health now.
Hello, my name is Liz Pollack of Leg Up Services. Have you lost a pet and are having a rough time moving forward? Your feelings are normal, but let me help you move through the grieving process. Call 309-370-4492. I'm there for you. Please call me at 370-4492. Let me assist you in adjusting to the new normal in your life.